Morning. Today's daf mechul is pehei. We are in pei dalam and beis. We are about halfway down the amud. Started the parak of kisui adam. Sixth parak of the mesechta has to do with the mitzvah of the Torah to cover the blood. Parsha nachri emos goes on to describe that after you shecht either a chaya of, you shecht a wild animal or a bird. So the requirement is that you have to be mechasa sadam, you cover the blood. As we already pointed out, the mitzvah is to do it be'alfar, you have to do it in dirt, which means it has to be dirt on the bottom and dirt on the top. And that's the mitzvah. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. But there are numerous details and questions which are coming up in the course of this parak. The Gemara yesterday took its time to just make a more general point regarding living and how a person should live and the modesty a person should live in. The Torah, when describing the coming on to meat, so the Torah describes it as almost like you are going out of your way to trap the meat. And to that, the Gemara says that that's right. You can't just simply have meat available all the time. It has to be a special occasion. And then the Gemara just simply used that as a launching pad to discuss and describe how a person should live modestly and well within his means. The Gemara goes on to discuss that point for just a little bit longer, and then we return back to a halachic discussion. The Gemara, we are on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, Darash Rav Avira. It's about a third of the way down. It's the last word in the line. It's Darash. First word in the line is Yashav Imahan. The Gemara goes on. Darash Rav Avira Zimnan Amalei Mishmei De Rabbi Ami V'Zimnan Amalei Mishmei De Rabbi Asi. So sometimes it was said in the name of Rav Ami, sometimes Rav Asi. My dichsiv. Quoting the pasuk from Tehillim Tov, Ish Choneinu Ma'avei Yichalkel Dvarav B'Mishpat. Person better for a person who is Chonein, somebody who is gracious. So Ma'avei Yichalkel Dvarav B'Mishpat. And Ma'avei meaning that he lends. Meaning that he's in a position where he does not borrow, but he's on the lending end. La'olam yochel adam v'yishta pachos mimash yeshlo. And generally speaking, how should a person live? Well, below his means. So eat and drink less than what he has. V'yubash v'yizkasa b'mash yeshlo. And he should dress with his means. Interesting. In terms of food consumption is concerned, pachos mimash yeshlo. In terms of dress, so b'mash yeshlo. Interesting how dress gets a somewhat higher bump than the eating and the drinking. And then, as far as honoring your wife and your children, that's above your means. Because remember that they're totally dependent upon you. And you, of course, are totally in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a simple example of Mida Keneged Mida, meaning the way in which you treat those who are dependent on you is the way you're going to be treated by who you are dependent upon. Darish Rav Eina Apizcha de Beresh Kalusa. And here we return back to the halacha. Gemara now is going to be discussing some halachic considerations when it comes to the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Now, this is a really more general question that we could be asking in terms of the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Mitzvah of Kisui Adam is clearly a mitzvah to cover the blood. Now, if we don't cover the blood, are we still allowed to eat the animal with shechita, successful shechita? And the answer probably is there's no question about it, of course. Meaning the shechita is done, and the shechita is a matir, and shechita, of course, is the allowance of the consumption of either the chaya or the oaf. But with that stated, however, there's certainly some connection between the shechita and the kisui adam. I'm not going to say for a moment that if I shecht and I don't do the kisui adam, the shechita is no good. But on the other hand, it's kind of intuitive that the kisui adam is somewhat connected to the shechita. And with that small introduction, consider now the following. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Eina, Apitzcha de Beresh Kalusa, he happened to have been at the entrance of the Resh Kalusa, Ashokha Lechola B'Shabbos, Chayav L'Chaso. So let's say, so somebody's sick on Shabbos, so it's a Sakanas Nefashos, and you have every right to shecht an animal, even though shechting an animal on Shabbos would be a malacha, but here you're totally within the right to do so, and we could even say it's stronger, it's not only you have a right to do so, you have a mitzvah to do so. So Pikoch Nefesh is Dochas HaShabbos, and everybody, and the everybody has the obligation to avail themselves to help somebody's life on Shabbos. Good. So you're shechting for that person on Shabbos, and now do we do Kisui Adam? Now, Kisui Adam, does that involve a malacha on Shabbos? So the answer is it could be, right? In other words, you're going to have to dig dirt out of the ground, but it gets a little bit complicated because digging dirt out of the ground to do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, so that's really a malacha shein tzricha legufa, and it's not really, you're not really digging the dirt in order to get the hole. So, we could say it that for sure you're violating in Issur D'Rabbanan in doing the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, right? Moving around dirt that was not prepared before Shabbos for the purpose of Kisui Adam. So It's certainly an Isser Darabanan. So we could say that in the very least. Maybe an Isser Daraisa, it's a little bit harder to say. In any regard, Rav Eino says you're going to be doing the mitzvah of Kisui Adam on Shabbos. Now, that's really interesting. Meaning the allowance to Shecht on Shabbos, that is absolutely legitimate and necessary. You can't eat the animal until you Shecht the animal. So certainly we understand that the Shechita is a necessary component to what you need to do on Shabbos. But Kisui Adam, meaning Kisui Adam will be a violation on Shabbos, and what is that necessary vis-a-vis the Chola? The Chola doesn't need the Kisui Adam, the Chola just simply needs the animal Shechted. So what allowances are there to, in fact, do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam? But nevertheless, Rav Eino says that you are not only allowed to Shecht, again, supposed to Shecht, but you also do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So Amalu Rabba, so when Rabba hears this, so Rabba could not believe what he's hearing. Ishtuma Kamar. So Rabba's immediate response is, what he's saying is, now the word Ishtuma is a word that we don't see that often in the Gemara. Rashi simply describes it as a Davar Tema. Like, can't be. Like, it's just, that's an amazing thing that he said, but amazing with a very pejorative sense to it. I mean, that's not right. And Lishtumua La Amora Mine. And basically what we should do is we should take out his Amora. Now, take it as a moral, what does that mean? So Rashi over here offers a couple of explanations. The first explanation of Rashi, it's very strong, but he says it, Yechazchus L'shon O'sham Rabba. Okay, so in other words, what he just said, so let's just simply cut out his tongue. And I know that's strong. But that's, okay, but in other words, but to the point of, I really, you got to take that back. You cannot believe what you said. And Lishon Achrin and Rashi also offers another pshat, which is, Yidushama Kamar, Im Bishmo Hu Omer, Lishtamula Amore, Yishmatuasa Amora Milafanavla Baisho. Take away his Amora. What's an Amora? So back in the day, an Amora is basically a human microphone. So back in the day, so instead of having an actual microphone in front of them, which would be anachronistic, so what they had is they had human microphones. So the Rav would be up there saying Shir, and being that he could not possibly be able to broadcast to the multitudes in front of him, so he had a person with a strong voice broadcasting. So basically, take away his microphone, okay? If I could say it in somewhat more modern terms. But the point is that I cannot believe he actually said that. There's no way there's any allowance to do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam for the chola that you shechted on Shabbos. So the Tanya of the Gemara now says, and let's consider the following braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer Koi Ein Shochna Sobiyantav. Now you have the Koi. Now what is the Koi? And exactly, we don't know. Meaning a koi is a suffix, it could be a chaya, it could be a behema. One is not allowed to shech the koi on yantiv. Now we've heard this before, right? This is going to be a constant refrain that we're going to be hearing in this parak of Kisui Adam, that we're not allowed to shech the koi on yantiv. Now why not? Now we certainly know that you're allowed to shech an animal on yantiv in order to eat on yantiv. There is a heter of ochel nefesh. And so be it a behema or be it a chaya, so you can shech it on yantiv. But you can't shech the koi. Now, there's a couple of reasons, a couple of suggestions in terms of why it is that you're not allowed to shech the koi. The Gemara in Beitza entertains a couple of possibilities over there. One consideration over there is it just may simply be a muksa issue, meaning the dirt that you're going to be using to covering the koi, we don't know if we need it, because the koi may not be a chaya, may be a behema. The mitzvah of Kisui Adam is only for a chaya, not for a behema. So there's one consideration that it's just simply a muksa issue in terms of moving the dirt for the koi on yantiv. And another simple consideration is as follows. Let's say we shech the koi on yantiv. And now what are we going to do? Well, we're not going to cover the blood. Well, if we're not going to cover the blood, so then what are people going to say vis-a-vis its status? Is it a behema or is it a chaya? So if a person is not that educated and doesn't understand the nuance and intricacies of, well, it's somewhere in the middle and it's yantiv and we'd rather not, so a person is going to conclude it may be, in fact, a behema, not a chaya, because if it were a chaya, we'd be covering the blood. And on the other hand, if we did cover the blood, well, people will say, oh, for sure, it's a chaya. So in other words, people will basically look at the covering of the blood as a referendum on whether it's a behema or whether it's a chaya. And what's the problem with that? The problem is that if we go to the side of covering the blood, so then people say it's a chaya, and people will eat the chaylev. But you're not allowed to eat the chaylev because the koi is somewhere in the middle between being a behema and being a chaya. It's a suffix. We don't know. So as a result of that, so therefore we are not to shech the koi on yantav. Good. So the start.
Sure that the kisui adam is related. So for the sick person, you say maybe it's not.
Well, for the sick person, we're going to be shechting regardless. Meaning we're going to shech for the sick person. On Yontiv, you just simply take another animal. Okay. So Kai ain't shech nafso b'yontiv. Now, what if you do? So in other words, so the starting point is you go to your Rav, on Yontiv, can I shech my Kai? So the Rav is going to say no. We don't shech Kai's on Yontiv. But then, im shech to ein mechasin is damo. But if you do, you don't do kisu adam on the blood that you shechted. And now, mikal v'chomer. And over here, what Rav Yossi produces is a logical argument in terms of why not. Why not? So, umami lo shevade doche Shabbos, ein tzvecha doche Yontiv. Kisu she'ein vade doche Shabbos, ein din she'ein tzvecha doche Yontiv. So let's put two halachas side by side. Let's take the halacha of Mila. Mila, where, if it were a Vada Mila, meaning, if we know definitively that was the eighth day on Shabbos, we're going to be doing the Mila on Shabbos, the mitzvah of Mila overrides Shabbos, but only a Mila Vadai. However, let's say it's a Suffolk. Let's say the baby was born Minash Mashos. We don't know if Shabbos actually is the eighth day, maybe the ninth day. We simply don't know. The baby was born somewhere in between the sunset and Seis on Friday night. Or we could say the same thing regarding Motzei Shabbos. So, Ein Sveika Doche Yontif. So under those circumstances, we're not going to do the Mila on Shabbos, and we're not going to even do it on Yontif. Meaning, a Suffolk Mila will not override neither Shabbos nor Yontif. That's our starting point. Now let's move to Kisu Adam. Kisu Shein Vadei Doche Shabbos. Now, Kisu Adam we will not be doing on Shabbos. Now, highlight that line of the Braisa, because that's clearly what we just wanted to hear, at least as a question on Ravina. Because the Braisa says, without flinching, that one is not allowed to cover the blood on Shabbos. What was the context of that? Stay tuned. We're going to discuss that in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, so if that's your starting point, where you don't do kisu on Shabbos, so ein din she'ein sveiko doche yontif, so for sure you're not going to be doing it on kisu adam on yontif as well for a suffik. And obviously the koi being a suffik. Good. So what we have over here in front of us now is a kal v'chomer. We put it alongside, side by side, the mitzvah of Mila and the mitzvah of Kisui. If we're not doing Mila, we're for sure not doing Kisui. And look, Mila, we have allowances by Mila. We have no allowances by Kisui. If we're not going to be doing a Suffolk Mila on Yontif, we're for sure not going to be doing a Kisui on Yontif as well. So is the kal v'chomer. Now, Amru Lo, so they say to him, to Rabbi Yossi, we don't love your kal v'chomer. Tkiya shofar b'gvulin tochiach. Look, what about blowing the shofar? B'gvulin, outside of the area of the mikdash. We know the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah teaches us that you blow shofar in the mikdash, even on Shabbos. Outside of the mikdash, we do not blow shofar on Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos were to coincide. So, Tkiya Shofar B'Gvulin Tochiach She'ein Vadai Doche Shabbos. Now, it's Vadai is not going to be Doche Shabbos, but it's Suffolk is going to be Doche Yontif. Now, what does that mean? It's Suffolk is going to be Doche Yontif? At this point in time, let's hold, because that needs explanation. But let's just take the statement at face value. So, for Shofar, it's Vadai is not going to be Doche Shabbos, and meanwhile, it's Suffolk is going to override the Yontif. So that seems to be a counter to the kal v'chomer.
What Yom Tov is that?
It's called Rosh Hashanah.
Well, that's actually the mitzvah to do that.
Okay, so stay tuned. So Heishiv Rebbe Elazar Kafar B'Ribi Tshuva. So the Gemara and Rebbe Elazar HaKafar also has another argument against the kal v'chomer. So Malamila Shekein Eina Noheges B'Leila Yomim Tovim. So I don't understand Mila. So there's no mitzvah of Mila on the eve of Yom Tov, Tamar B'Kisui, Shenoig B'Leile Yomim Tovim. And meanwhile, the mitzvah of Mila does in fact, the mitzvah of Kisui does in fact apply on Leile Yom Tov. So how can I put those two side by side and compare the mitzvah of Mila to the mitzvah of Kisui? Now, Amar Rabbi Abba Zechem Nedvarim Shama Rabbi Chia, Ein Li Aleim Tshuva, Be'eshev Rav Elazar Kafar B'Ribi Tshuva. Now, on this, when Rabbi Abba makes the following commentary on the various Tanaim that we just saw, Rabbi Chia commented and said that this kal v'chomer simply does not have a question to it. And meanwhile, as we just learned, Rabbi Elazar Kafar does in fact have a tshuva, an answer on the kal v'chomer. Ad kan divrei ha-braisa, so that's the end of the braisa. Now, the truth of the matter is there are a lot of points in the Braisa that need clarification, and we are going to clarify a number of points in the Braisa. But in the meantime, there was one line of the Braisa that we were really interested in vis-a-vis our discussion. Again, let's recap. Rav Eina says that if I shecht an animal on Shabbos for a chola, which again, you have every right and mitzvah to do, so he says on top of that, you're also going to be doing the mitzvah of kisui on Shabbos as well. And to that, the Gemara now just quoted a Braisa, and in the Braisa, we read the line that, you know, kisui is not going to override the Shabbos. That's what the Braisa said. Now, in the context of our discussion, what did the Braisa mean? So the Gemara now is going to offer what it seems to be the most reasonable explanation. So, ketanim yas kisui shein vadai dochi Shabbos. My vadai, the kisui de lo dochi Shabbos. What does that mean that kisui adam is not overriding the Shabbos? What's the context? What's the circumstance? So, lava shochi lechola b'Shabbos. Presumably, the Bryce is discussing our very case. Why else would you be shechting an animal on Shabbos? So, it must be that there's a chola, and so now you're shechting the animal, and what the Bryce is saying is, and we're not going to be doing kisui, and that goes directly against the opinion of Rav Eina. So the Gemara says, well, maybe v'dilma da'avar v'shachat. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a person who willfully violated the Shabbos and shechted it on Shabbos. So d'mi d'mila. Ma'amila b'rishus af kisui na'ami b'rishus. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be. Because in the Kav HaChomer, we were putting two things side by side. The mitzvah of mila and the mitzvah of kisui. We are, by mila, obviously you're doing everything correctly. So we have to assume the same thing is true by kisui adam, that it wasn't that somebody willfully violated the Shabbos, but rather we're talking about somebody did it birishus, under halachic permission. So it would now be left to the only reasonable explanation that this is exactly what the Braisa is describing, a scenario in which we shechted the animal on Shabbos for a chola. And the Braisa says categorically that we're not going to be doing the mitzvah of kisui, and we really now have no support for the position of Rav Eina. In fact, it sounds like from the Gemara that we've refuted the position of Rav Eina. Now, at this point in time, we certainly have finished the discussion, but we quoted the Braisa, and there are a lot of loose ends in the Braisa, and so now let's just fill in the blanks in the Braisa. Amru lo, t'kiyah shofar b'gvulun tochiach, she'in vaday doche Shabbos, sveika doche yom tov. So one of the counter-arguments to the Kav HaChomer, so he said, the Gemara says, let's take a look, the Braisa says, let's take a look at Tkiya Shofar. Well, you know by Shofar, so in the Gvulin, outside of the Mikdash area, it's not going to override the Shabbos, but meanwhile, a Safek is going to be overriding Yantav. Now, my Sveika, what did we mean when we said that the Safek Yantav were still going to be blowing Shofar? What? Ile Masafek Chol Safek Yantav, Hashavadi Yantav, Dachi Shabbos Yantav, Ha'avada yamtav dachya, safik yamtav, safik chol mibaye. So the Gemara says it can't be just simply talking about, well, you know, maybe it's Rosh Hashanah. Now, this question of maybe it's Rosh Hashanah, so this takes us back to Masechta Beitza, in the beginning of the Masechta, where there we had a lengthy discussion in terms of why exactly we are observing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Min HaTorah, it's a one-day yamtav. And the Chachamim extended an extra day. And don't confuse it with the Suffolk of Yontav. The Suffolk of Yontav is outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's a 2-day Yontav because of the poor communication that existed between Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And because we don't know where Rosh Chodesh was, and because there are 2 days of possibility in terms of Rosh Chodesh, so therefore, in Chutz Aretz, they observe the 2 days of Yontav. Masha Enkin, when it comes to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, so this does have to do with the double possibility of which day was Rosh Chodesh, but this does not have to do with the poor communication that existed between it from Eretz Yisrael to outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Isn't Rosh Hashanah Yom Arichta though?
That's one long day. There was an extension of Rosh Hashanah to 2 days. We're not going to go through all the details right now in terms of why that is, but right now the Gemara is only proposing this for a moment. That if we're talking about Rosh Hashanah and the second day of Rosh Hashanah being a Safek, and even though, Ben said it very well, it's not really a Safek. The Gemara over there described it as a Yuma Arechta. It's really an elongated day. But just for a moment, let's even entertain the idea that it's predicated on a Safek. Still, that obviously makes no sense. Meaning, what are we saying? If it's for sure Rosh Hashanah, we're going to blow shofar. If it's maybe Rosh Hashanah, oh, for sure, then we're going to blow shofar. You can make the argument that maybe you shouldn't be blowing shofar. To which the Gemara is now saying, well, that's ridiculous. It's patently absurd. If it's maybe Rosh Hashanah, if it's maybe not Rosh Hashanah, well, what's the other possibility if it's not Rosh Hashanah? It's a regular weekday. There's no problem with taking a horn and blowing it on a regular weekday. So even if we're going to entertain them for a moment that the second day of Rosh Hashanah is somehow a suffix, that is not going to at all inhibit our ability to blow shofar. Just the opposite. You have even more reason now to blow shofar, because either it's Rosh Hashanah where it's a mitzvah, or it's a weekday, and knock yourself out. Enjoy. So the Gemara says, so that can't be what we're talking about. So Ella, Suffolk Ish, Suffolk Isha. So as we now turn to the top of Pehei Amad Aleph, so the Gemara says, the Suffolk vis-a-vis blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah is a question of the person blowing the shofar, and notably his gender, or her gender, or we're not sure. This question of uncertain gender, it's not at all a modern phenomenon. So something that existed back in the day. But back in the day, quite frankly, it was a little bit simpler. It was just a question of demonstration of which simanim the person is demonstrating. So sometimes it's an androgynous where they're demonstrating both male and female simanim, and sometimes symptom which neither, meaning simply there's a membrane covering the area and simply do not know which one it is, whether it's a male or it's a female. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, such a person has a mitzvah to blow shofar. Let's say androgynous, it's going to be a little bit easier just because they're both. We know for sure they're both. So male and female. So under those circumstances, there's a mitzvah to blow shofar. So it's meaning for sure, yes. But the problem is that we don't know level of obligation. Level of obligation, because under the circumstances that it may be a man, so obviously obligated. If it's a woman, so then certainly can take on the mitzvah of blowing shofar, but not obligated to do so. Blowing shofar is a mitzvah, sesei shas man gram, it's a time of mitzvah. Women are exempt from the mitzvah. And so over here, we're now describing a scenario where we have this suffolk isha, who's going to be blowing shofar for a man, and is that going to now be motzi the man? So the Gemara says, now let's consider this: who constructed the kavachomer? That was Rabbi Yossi. Now Rabbi Yossi l'tamid amar isha v'dais namitaka. Now Rabbi Yossi over here being consistent with his general viewpoint, which is that a woman for sure blows shofar. Ditanya. B'nei Yisrael samchen ve'ein b'nos Yisrael samchos. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon omrim nashim samchos rishos. The mitzvah, just give me a moment. The mitzvah of smicha over here is a mitzvah in the Torah in which when you have a carbon, so you take your hands, you press them on the head of the animal, and you place your weight on the animal. The mitzvah of smicha is a mitzvah for men. The Torah, in the beginning of introducing us to the mitzvah of smicha, says b'nei Yisrael. And so women are not included in the mitzvah. Do they at least have a volitional option to do the mitzvah? So to that, we have a basic machlokas ha-tanayim. The Tanakhama of the Brisa that we just quoted says, "B'nei Yisrael somchen v'lo b'nos Yisrael somchos," which means that the mitzvah is for men, it's not for women, and women don't even have an opt into the mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, nashim somchos rishos. You're right. They're not arguing on the fundamental point that they're not obligated. But if they would like to opt into the mitzvah, they have every right to do so. And then you have all the basic questions that come along with it, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. If they opt into the mitzvah, are they going to be making a bracha on the mitzvah? But for our purposes right now, let's just deal with the basic point, that according to Rabbi Yossi, they have the option in doing so. Now, if that's the case, so now let's go back to shofar. Going back to shofar, so we know the mitzvah is for men. The mitzvah is not incumbent upon women, but do women have the volition of blowing shofar? Now, according to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's the same story. Meaning they don't have an obligation, but they can certainly opt in. Really interesting Rashi on the top of the Amud. Rashi writes, "V'Rabbi Yosi d'lo chashiva lehi pircha." Now Rabbi Yosi was not bothered by this question, so mishum da'azul l'tamid amar afil isha v'dais taka va'afagav d'lo mechayva. A woman's going to blow shofar even though she's not obligated. But you can't compare that to the Kai, because the Kai exists in a state of Suffolk. Meaning, Rav Yossi is not bothered by this Kavachomer, because he views a woman's obligation to blow shofar, again, it's not an obligation, but once she's given the volition of doing so, she's given the option of doing so, so it's a really interesting Rashi. Rashi calls it now, it's as if it's a chiyuv. Right now we're describing where the woman herself is going to be blowing, and the issue is, the issue is that there are, if it's not a mitzvah, it may be a violation of a din derabbanan. Tkiyah shofar is a production of sound. You're making some form of music, so without the mitzvah there, so it may be a issur derabbanan in doing so. That's the counter consideration. Okay. So with that stated now, so we now understand what the suffix was regarding the blowing of the shofar, why Reb Yossi didn't view that as a pircha on his kavachomer. Let's continue. Am Ravina, we continue now in the Gemara. We're on Pei Hei Amud Aleph. Ulamayda kamer Rabbanan nami isle pircha. Mal tkiya shofar shekein vada doche Shabbos b'mikdash tomer b'kisui delay seklal. Let's take the following into consideration. When it comes to the blowing of the shofar, so it definitively is going to be overriding Shabbos in the base of Mikdash. Meaning there is an avenue in which we're not only blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah, which is a mitzvah, but if Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah were to coincide, we are going to be blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, on Shabbos, in the base of Mikdash. Tamar b'kisui d'leisei klal. And meanwhile, how could you put that side by side against kisui, where the mitzvah of kisui simply does not exist at all on Yontif? Or I should say better, on Shabbos. So Haishiv Rabbi Lazar Kafar Baribi Malamila Shekin Ina Noagis Belele Yamim Tovim Belele Yam. I'm sorry, Belele Yamim Tovim. So the Gemara now goes back to a line of the Brisa that, according to Rabbi Lazar Kafar, so Mila is not Noeg Balayla. So Belele Yamim Tovim. So the Gemara says Belele Yamim Tovim Hu Delo Nehige Bishar Layla Nehige. Now just the language of the Brisa was a little bit strange. You know, we're not going to be doing Mila on the eve of Yontif. Right? Newsflash. We're not going to be doing Mila on any evening. The mitzvah of Mila is only during the day. It's not a night. And it's just a funny language. Ela mala Mila shekein eino noheg is belelos kibiyamim. Tomer bekisa shenoheg belelos kibiyamim. So the Gemara just simply amends the language. It's going to make the same point, but we're just simply not left with that ambiguity. It just simply means that Mila is done only the day, not a night. Masha enkein. When it comes to the mitzvah of kisui, kisui is done. You could do it during the day. You could do it at night. I'm Rabbi Abizachem, and at Dvarim Shammah, Rabbi Chia, Ein Lo Aleim Shuva, Vishiv Rav Elazar Kafar, Baribi Shuva. And once again, the Gemara just simply reiterates and repeats the statement to Rabbi Abba. You know, when Rabbi Chia went over the Kavachomer of Rabbi Yossi, he thought it was ironclad. He thought it was just absolute. And meanwhile, Rav Elazar Kafar did, in fact, have a Shuva on the Kavachomer. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first sugya for this morning. We're now continuing on Pehei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Hashoch v'nimtza treifa v'hashoch l'avodas kocham v'hashoch echulim b'fnim v'kashim b'chutz chayev ha'of ha'niskalim Rebbe Meir mechayev ha'chacham and pochim. The Gemara over here gives us a numerous scenarios in which we're going to be shechting an animal, but we're not going to be eating the animal. So it sounds like an awfully familiar conversation, machlokus, as we had the same exact point raised in Osa v'Espino. Now let's consider, right now we're talking about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. The mitzvah of Kisui Adam is that when I shecht an animal, so we have a mitzvah to cover the blood. But now we're going to be discussing again, in this perek, the same discussion that we had in the previous perek, and if you are really sharp and read the Mishnah really critically and carefully, you will notice a subtle difference between our Mishnah and the one in the fifth perek in Osa v'Espino. And even if you don't get it right now, you will get it in a moment because the Gemara is going to spell it out. The Mishnah over here describes various scenarios in which you shechta the animal, but you can't eat the animal. The examples that are given over here, like they were back in the fifth parak, are the same. You shecht, and the animal is found to be discovered to be a treifa, so we're not eating it. You shecht for avodah zarah. You shecht chulin bifnim v'kachim b'chutz. Either you shecht a chulin in the azara, or you shecht a carbon outside the azara. Chai v'of ha'niskalim. Or let's say it's a wild animal or an oaf that's subject to the execution of skila, for it killed a person. under any of these circumstances where you were to shech the animal and you cannot eat the animal, so is there a mitzvah of kisui adam? And here we go back to our debate. Rabbi Meir says you're going to be chayv in the chacham and you're going to be pater. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, you're chayv in the mitzvah of kisui adam because, according to Rabbi Meir, even though it's a shechita she'ena re'uya, it doesn't result in immediate consumption, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Meir, it still qualifies as a shechita, and therefore there's a mitzvah of kisui adam. Masha'in kein, according to the chachamim. So a shechita she'ena re'uya, lav shmei shechita, and so therefore the shechita did not qualify as a shechita because it didn't result in immediate consumption, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't have the mitzvah of kisui adam. The Mishnah goes on, Ashochem v'nesnav l'biyado anochem v'amakir potem l'chasos. If you shecht, and in the shechita itself, you made a nevela, intentionally or unintentionally. You're nocher ma'akir. You kill the animal in another means, other than shechita. So either the shechita went awry, or you just simply kill the animal in some other manner. Potem l'chasos, certainly, there's no mitzvah of kisui, as you didn't do a shechita. Do you notice the difference between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah from the Perek Avos of Espino? It's subtle, but once you see it, you realize what just happened over here. In the previous Mishnah, when we went over these same points of Shechita She'en Ruya, so the Mishnah is back in Osav Espino, presented the Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. But if you remember back then, in that Machlokas, in the way the Mishnah presented it, so who was given the anonymous position and whose name was actually called out? So if you remember back in the Mishnah, so the answer was the reverse of our Mishnah. Meaning, in the previous Mishnah, where the Gemara went over these same exact points, so we had Rabbi Meir being the anonymous position of the Mishnah, and it was Rabbi Shimon who was singled out as disagreeing. Meaning, to be clear, the Shitas did not change, it's just that the way the Mishnah is presenting them, in the previous Perek, Rabbi Meir was the Tanakama / anonymous first position, and in our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Shimon who is the anonymous first position. So that's interesting. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ra'a Rabbi Dvar V'shal Rabbi Meir Bosav Espino V'shana B'lashon Chachamim Udi Rabbi Shimon B'kisav Adam V'shana B'lashon Chachamim. So obviously this is a play by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. When Rabbi Yehuda Anasi putting together the Mishnayos. So as far as Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon are concerned, so their positions are not changing. They are fixed positions regarding Shechita She'en Ruya. Rabbi Shimon consistently will tell you that Shechita She'en Ruya is Lashmei Shechita. It is not considered Shechita. Masha'en Kein, according to Rabbi Meir, Shechita She'en Ruya is considered Shechita. So that means that according to Rabbi Meir, as far as the mitzvah of Osav Espino, or the Isser of Osav Espino, if it's a Shechita She'en Ruya, there's still going to be a prohibition of Osav Espino for the offspring. Vis-a-vis the Shita of Rabbi Meir by Kisui Adam, even though it's a Shechita She'en Ruya, there's still going to be a mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Good. And if I turn to Rabbi Shimon, everything I just said, but no, it's not going to be a Shechita. So vis-a-vis Osav Espino, there's no Isser to shech the offspring. Vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, there's no mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Good. So in terms of their positions, it's fixed. And then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is now going to, I'm not going to use the best term, but cherry pick. Meaning, in Osav Espino, he sees more clearly the position of Rav Meir. And therefore, in the fifth perek, so when he puts the Mishnahs together, Rav Meir is listed as the Shitas HaRabim. And that is going to be labeled as the, quote-unquote, viewpoint of the Chachamim. Masha'en came over here in our sixth perek in Kisur Adam. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi sees it more clearly vis-a-vis Kisur Adam to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And so therefore, Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah is going to be the Shita of the Chachamim. Okay. How could it be? So the Gemara is going to discuss. It's a good question. The Gemara is going to discuss. Okay. So my time with the Rabbi Meir, Bosav Espino. So the Gemara over here points out as follows. Now it's really interesting because if without the Gemara, I would have hypothesized, I would have theorized that if this issue of Shechita She'en Ruya is a more general debate between the Tanaim, and it just simply plugs in to the various nafkaminas of the Isser of Osav Espino and the Mitzvah of Kisui Adam, And what the Gemara is going to tell us is, no, that's not the way it's broken down. But rather, as far as Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon are concerned, so they're going to be svaras within each of the mitzvos, within the Yisr Vos of Spino, and within the mitzvah of Kisu Adam, which is going to then be the answer to our question. How can then Rebbe just simply flip on from one parak to the next parak? So the Gemara says like this, my time at the Rebbe Meir Vos of Espino. So let's start with the fifth parak of Chulin and the Yisr Vos of Espino. So vis-a-vis the opinion of Rebbe Meir, that Shechita Shein Arui is in fact considered Shechita, that is predicated on what? I'm Rebbe Yishuv Ben Levi, Gamar Shechita Shechita, Mishchut Echutz. So we're going to be learning out the halachas from Shechut Echutz. Ma hasam Shechita Shein Arui, Shema Shechita. Now vis-a-vis Shechut Echutz, so we all agree. You shecht an animal, it's a carbon, outside the base of Mikdash. You violate the Yisr Shechut Echutz. Everyone is in perfect agreement. You can't eat that animal. And meanwhile, it qualifies as a shechita. So avhachanam is shechita shein aruya shma shechita. So here too as well, is shechita shein aruya, even though it doesn't result in consumption, it's still going to be considered shechita. Rabbi Shimon, so as far as Rabbi Shimon's concerned, my taima, so what is the basis of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? Am rabmani barpatish gamar mitvoch tavach vahachain. So he learns it from the parsha in which the brothers come to Yosef, and Yosef prepares for them a feast. And his instructions were as follows. He goes to the kitchen, and he says, today we're going to have to feed kosher food. And, right, these people are here from Israel, right? Again, anachronistic, but they're Jews. Right, correct. And so his instructions were, we got a shecht. So, ma lahalan shechita ruya, af kan shechita ruya. Now, obviously, over there, that shechita resulted in consumption. So the very definition of shechita is that it has to result in consumption. So now we have the back and forth. Rabbi Meir nami ligmar mitvoach. So as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, so why doesn't he learn it out from Yosef and his brothers? So dan shechita mishchita vein dan shechita mitvicha. So the Gemara says, okay, but if we're gonna have gzeira shava, shouldn't the words be the same? And to that, the Gemara has perhaps the most popular refrain in all of Shas. When making a gzeira shava, the words don't have to be the same. I'm not going to go through the halachas right now regarding the tzaras of a house in terms of the first week and the second week of shutting down the house to make sure whether it had tzaras or it doesn't. Suffice right now to say, a gzeira shava is created, even though in one pasuk it says v'shav ha-kohen, in another pasuk it says uba ha-kohen. The words are not the same words, but they are synonymous. And synonymous words are enough to create a gzeira shava. So the Gemara says that's right, but so the Gemara says that's true, but that's only if we don't have options. If we have options, so then we're going to go to a word that is more similar, not only in meaning, but also in the actual word itself. Now, it's a really interesting discussion regarding gzeira shava, regarding how you have options. We're going to go to the better option. Who has options? The gzeira shava is only learned via mesora. And so it really begs our understanding in terms of how gzeira shavas are actually formulated and formed. And even though the Gemara says in a number of places, gzeira shava can only be made through a mesora, nevertheless, there seems to be some flexibility, some sort of maneuverability within a gzeira shava. But anyway, the Gemara says over here, yes, you could have a gzeira shava from the word tavoach, which is synonymous with shechita, but we have shechut echutz, it's a better gzeira shava.
Rabbi, what do you say, there are two mesoras here? Two mesoras handed down, and they're like, are you making the mesoras?
I go back to what I said earlier. It begs our understanding, right? At least I'll speak about my understanding. It's definitely lacking, but there's some flexibility. There has to be. Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon learn from Shechut Echutz? Which again, Shechut Echutz is a shechita that does not result in consumption and is absolutely a shechita. So, okay, but we're talking about shechting a non-carbon animal. I'd much rather learn from Yosef and the brothers, which is a non-carbon animal, than learn from Shechut Echutz, which is a carbon animal. Okay. Now, according to Rameir, the Isra Vosav Espino, doesn't apply to karbanos. So Hainu Dekamer Rebbe Chia Ra Rebbe Dvar Avshal Rebbe Meir Ba'osav Espeno V'shana B'loshan Chachamim. And that was the tip, meaning the idea that by Osav Espeno it applies also to karbanos. So that's why the Gzeirah Shavah Teshchut Echutz is, this, according to Rebbe, a stronger Gzeirah Shavah, because it links Shchita to Shchut Echutz. And because we're talking about Osav Espeno, and because Osav Espeno applies to Chulin and to Karbanos, so that's why that got Rebbe on board with Rav Meir, that I'm going to be siding with Rav Meir vis-a-vis the opinion of Osav, in the category of Osav Espeno, that a Shechita Sheina Ruya is in fact considered a Shechita. Okay. My time with the Rav Meir, B'Kisra Adam. Good. So that was round one. So Osav Espeno, so sorry for not using the best language. The winner of round one is Rebbe Meir, again, according to Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, and that's why in the Perek of Osav Espeno, so when he puts in the opinion of Rebbe Meir, he simply coins it as Shita Sachachamim. Now we go to Kisra Adam. That's our Perek. So, Bekisra Adam, Amar Rebbe Shimon Malakish, I'm sorry, my time to Rebbe Meir, Bekisra Adam. Amar Shimon Malakish Gamar, Shvicha, Shvicha, Mishchut Echutz. Malal Shchita Shein Ruyah, Shma Shchita, Avkan, Shchita Sheneruya Shma Shchita. So we're learning it out from Shchut Echutz. So again, so for a mayor, actually it becomes now the same source. Just like by Shchut Echutz, where we know it doesn't result in consumption, and meanwhile it's a Shchita, same thing vis-a-vis Kisur Adam. Rabbi Shimon Asher Yeachel Ksiv. So Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, you see the pasuk by Kisur Adam and Achremos? The Torah says that you're going to be shechting it and you're going to be eating it. So Rabbi Meir, Aulamute Of Tame Huda Asa. Now, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, yeah, that's right. The pasuk says Asher Yeachel. But Asher Yeachel is only a meat, it's only a limitation, vis-a-vis if I were to shecht a non-kosher bird. For Rabbi Shimon, of Tame, my time at Lav Bar Achilahu, Trefanami Lav Bar Achilahu. So, and as far as Rabbi Shimon's counter-argument, it's a very strong counter-argument. Okay, good. I'm with you. We're going to limit, and we're going to be Memayet and of Tame. Do you know why we're being Memayet and of Tame? Because we can't eat it. So once you shech something that you can't eat, so there is no mitzvah of Kisur Adam. And again, that was the tip. Meaning, that argument of Rabbi Shimon led Rabbi Yehuda Nasi to the conclusion that vis-a-vis Kisur Adam, he's going to be siding with Rabbi Shimon. Good. So that is an interesting contrast between our parak of Kisur Adam versus the parak of Osav Espeno. Again, just a simple recap. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir argue about a shechita shein aruya. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that a shechita shein aruya is not a shechita on both Osav Espeno and Kisur Adam. Rabbi Meir takes the other position. A shechita shein aruya is considered a shechita in both halachas. And then Rabbi Yehuda Nasi on Osav Espeno signing with Rabbi Meir. On Kisur Adam signing with Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara just went through what were the compelling arguments that led Rabbi Yehuda Nasi to that conclusion. Amar Rabbi Abba. We are now on the top of the Amud Beis. Lo l'chol amar Rabbi Meir shechita shein aruya shma shechita. So in terms of the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. So it is not an absolute machlokus. There is some area of agreement. So let's say, for example, according to Rabbi Meir, shechita shein aruya shma shechita modi Rabbi Meir shein matirasta ba'achila. Now, Rabbi Abba makes a statement within Rabbi Meir, which seems so obvious and so basic, and the Gemara is going to try to understand it in just a little bit. He says that, you know, Rabbi Meir, even though the Shechita Shein Aruya is considered Shechita, but it won't allow you to eat the animal. Now, at this point in time, we're all thinking to ourselves, well, isn't that exactly the point? Meaning, it's a Shechita Shein Aruya. That, by definition, means you can't eat the animal. Oh, and you know what Rabbi Meir is going to give you? He'll concede that you can't eat the animal. But that's exactly the point. It's a shechita shein aruya. So the Gemara in just a moment is going to wonder, what did Rabbi Abba just tell us that we didn't know prior? V'lo l'chol amar Rabbi Shimon shechita shein aruya lo shma shechita modi Rabbi Shimon shematarasa midei nevela. And even the Rabbi Shimon position that a shechita shein aruya is not a shechita, but even he, Rabbi Shimon, is not so absolute. Consider that according to Rabbi Shimon, the animal is still going to be shechted from the perspective of not being a nevela. You can't eat the animal. The shechita was not a shechita vis-a-vis Osav Espeno. It wasn't a shechita vis-a-vis Kisur Adam. But you can still I'm sorry, but the shechita is still going to be good enough, even according to Rabbi Shimon, to prevent the animal from becoming a nevela. It's not going to be an avatama. Okay, now that second statement doesn't really need clarification, meaning that we understood. The first statement, however, the Gemara now is going to return to the first statement of Rabbi Abba. Amar mar lo lecho, amar Rabbi Meir shechita shein ruvi shma shechita, amar Meir shein maturas ba'achila. Pshita, trefa b'shechita mimishtarya. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. We have just made the most obvious point in the world. If it's a shechita she'ina ru'uya, so that means to say that for whatever external reason, we can't eat it. And don't think for a moment that the shechita will allow you to eat it. Well, who would think that? Let's say, for example, right, the classic example of shechita she'ina ru'uya, the animal's a trefa. Okay, so Rameir says that the shechita she'ina ru'uya still qualifies as a shechita vosav espino and kisu adam. And we're entertaining for just a moment, oh, and you can eat it. And the Gemara is asking, well, who's thinking that? It's a trefa. You're not allowed to eat a trefa. So, lo tzricha l'shochet es ha-trefa matzah ben tzchai. So we return now to the fourth parak of the Masechta. Today's daf, by the way, is a great review. Fourth, fifth, sixth parak of the Masechta. We return back to the fourth parak of the Masechta. And now what happens is as follows. The mother was expecting. She had a fetus inside of her. And the mother was a trefa. And now, salka datcha mina hold amar Rabbi Meir shechita shein ruya shma shechita. So look, even though the mother's a trefa, and I can't eat the mother based on the shechita, but what about the fetus? Maybe the shechita of the mother would be good enough to allow for the consumption of the fetus. Tahani l'shechitas imo, v'lo libay shechita. And maybe I won't need to shech the fetus. And meanwhile, back in the fourth paragraph, we said that when you shech the mother who's a trefa, the fetus inside needs its own shechita, assuming, by the way, that it's eligible for its own shechita. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's the chiddush that Rabbi Abba is teaching us over here. That vis-a-vis Rabbi Meir, it's a shechita sheina ruya, and this shechita will not allow for the consumption of the fetus. So the Gemara says, wait one second. You have to not only remember the fourth parak of the Masechta, but you have to remember it really well. Remember Rabbi Meir back in the fourth parak? And do you remember his shechita back in the fourth parak, the Tisbara? Hama Rabbi Meir ben Pakua taun shechita. So the Gemara says, what discussion are we having? If we're discussing a fetus inside of the mother that was full term and alive, according to Rabbi Meir, there is no allowance to eat the fetus with the shechita of the mother. Even if the mother was not a trefa, even if it was a regular, bona fide, excellent shechita, still according to Rabbi Meir, the fetus inside requires its own shechita. It is not considered nitar b'shechitas imo. So, like, what discussion are we even having over here where we thought for a moment, now, however mean it was, the shechita would be good for the fetus inside. This is the shechita of Reb Meir. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha de Rebbe, savalak Reb Meir, v'savalak Rabbanan. Savalak Reb Meir, damar shechita shein ruish mashechita, v'savalak Rabbanan, damar shechita imo matarasa. So, the Gemara says, you're right. Within Reb Meir, there's no discussion to be had. But we are discussing within the shechita of Rebbe. Meaning, where's Rebbe stand? So on Shechita Sheina Ruya, so actually the truth of the matter is we learned on the Amud Aleph, he stands somewhere in the middle. But for now, let's say that he holds that a Shechita Sheina Ruya is in fact considered a Shechita. And we also know that Rebbe holds like the Chachamim, that the fetus inside is going to become Nitar, even if it's full term, even if it's alive, inside of the mother, it will be Nitar B'Shechita Simo. So we know all this vis-a-vis the opinion of Rebbe. So now within the Shechita of Rebbe, so now we're just going to say it again, because now we have a legitimate havamina. So in the event that we shechted the mother, who was a trefa, who had a fetus inside, and we're not discussing the shechita of Rabbi Meir, but we're discussing the shechita of Rebbe, who agrees with Rabbi Meir, shechita shein ruya is considered shechita, who agrees with the chachamim that the fetus inside is nitar b'shechita simo. So now you can make the very salient argument that the shechita of the mother, even though it's not good for the mother, is going to be good for the fetus inside. Good. So that is what Rabbi Abba was teaching us in the first statement. And now let's just wrap up the second statement. So the Gemara says now in the second statement to Rabbi Abba, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who disregards the shechita sheina ruya, but nevertheless the animal will not be a nevela. To which the Gemara says, thank you, Rabbi Abba, but we already knew that. Pshita. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Amri Lo ben Masisa Tanim, we learned in the Braisa V'chi Amus Min HaBehema. Sometimes an animal dies and the animal's not going to be a nevela. Mixes behema matama, mixes behema in matama. Veza zu, zu trefa sheshachta. So we know that if you shechta trefa, so the animal is not going to be a nevela. So we didn't need Rabbi Abba to introduce us to this idea. We already knew it from the Braisa. So the Gemara says, "Lotzricha l'shochet esatrefa v'hichulin be'azara." So the Gemara says that we're talking about a scenario where you shechted the trefa, and at the same time, it was a non-carbon animal in the azara. D'tanya shochet esatrefa v'chen shochet v'nimtzas trefa. So zev zeh chulin be'azara. Rabbi Shimon matir banav v'chachamim osrim. So if we shechted the chulin be'azara, so and it turned out to be a trefa, so Rabbi Shimon allows it for hana'a, meaning obviously you can't eat it. In other words, it's a treif, but you're allowed to get benefit from a treif, and Rabbi Shimon says that this would be the case over here, and the Chachamim say that it's asr. And now the Gemara explains the Havamina. Sakadachamina hovam Rabbi Shimon motar bana amalav shchita hi klal. So the Gemara says, so by virtue of the fact that it's motar bahana, so what did that say vis-a-vis the shchita? If it's motar bahana, so if I were to shecht chulin ba'azara, so we all know the consequence. The consequence is that the animal is disqualified. But Rabbi Shimon is telling us that it's not a shechita. Why isn't it a shechita? Because you can't consume it. It's a trefa. So because it's not a shechita, so it doesn't qualify as chulin shabba azara. So now the Gemara says, so now that we're here, so then we could say that if it's not a shechita bichlal, so now we could have made the argument that it's not even going to save it from being a nevela. So I am a mida nevela, nami lo matara. So kamash malan. So that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that even under the circumstances where we're really stretching the limits of what is a shechita, what isn't a shechita, nevertheless, what we're going to have over here is that legabe, the animal not being an avela, even Rabbi Shimon would qualify that even under circumstances where for no other halacha is it considered shechita, but vis-a-vis an avela, it won't become an avela. Shechita prevents it from being an avela. Okay, good. A lot covered in today's daf. I know it was a lot of big ideas that we went through. We finished up the sugya today regarding kisui adam vis-a-vis if we have an allowance to shecht an animal on Shabbos, do we also have a permit to be mechasas adam? Rav Ina says yes, but the Gemara goes through a brisa and a lengthy discussion within the brisa, which is pretty clear from the brisa. The answer is really no. Okay. And by the way, I know I mentioned this earlier. It could be fundamentally rooted in this machlokus is the question of how connected is the mitzvah of kisui adam to the actual shechita itself. The Gemara then goes on to describe again the idea of shechita sheina ruya, where shechita does not result in consumption. A machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. The same machlokus we had in the fifth perek. And the Gemara notes, interestingly, that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, in the previous perek, so he gave a nod to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And our perek by Kisui Adam, so he nods in the direction of Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara spent the rest of the Amud Aleph today going and describing why Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, which arguments compelled him in those positions. And then finally, the limits of this machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir, even though he says a shechita shein ruya is considered shechita, but even Rabbi Meir has his limitations, and even Rabbi Shimon, who says a shechita shein ruya lav shmei shechita, even he has his limitations as well. And the Gemara highlighted the limits of each position.